first things first, we'll light our Advent, our first Advent candle for the year. This is the first Sunday of Advent. You all right, man? You want to preach? Huh? You sure? Help him, Miss Annie. I don't blame you. The first candle is the candle of hope. And anticipate, as we anticipate and the longing for the Christ child to come. What a hope that we have. David Crowder would say, all my hope is in Jesus. Ain't that right this morning? And just in this Advent season, as we're thinking about the coming of the Christ child and what hope that he brings, don't miss the Christ of Christmas this year. That's what the season is about. It's not all your shopping that you're all tore up about right now that you got to get done. All that has nothing to do with the greatest gift that's already been given, and that's Jesus. In our scripture today, we'll be looking at 1 Peter, as we turn back to that 3, and 1 Peter 5, 3, 5 through 7. It's not 3, so that's, I must have did that wrong. We're back in 1 Peter 5, okay? We've already did 3, so... Yeah, 1 Peter 5, 5 through 7, and it's just this attitude of humility. Attitude of humility, and just the thought about that. Peter continues his challenge to the church. If you remember, we had our Thanksgiving message last Sunday, but the Sunday before that, he was challenging the shepherds, the leaders, and he was talking about them, how they should shepherd the flock of God, and we learned about his role, his responsibility, and those things, and then his reward at the end. And he continues on as he's challenging this church, this persecuted church, and he's dealing with how our mindset, how we should interact, and how we should be humble. Humble and much. He's been talking about humility. He's been talking about submissiveness since chapter 2 and 13. Remember, he told us to be submissive to the government, to allow the controlling bodies. We are to submit to that. Then he talked about being submissive to the bosses at work, where we're those that are over us, that we should submit to them. And then he goes to the home and he talks about husband and wife and how we are to submit to one another and these things. And then now he's at the church and he's dealing with the church about submission and humility and this attitude of humility this morning. You think about, listen, it is one of the foundational virtues of the church. It's humility. And yet I want to ask you something. How many bestseller books have you saw written on humility? When you go to the bookshelf, the Christian bookshelf, do you see books about humility? Steps to humility? It's a fragile flower, isn't it? It's like that flower that blooms, but once that we realize that it's bloomed, we've lost the flower. Humility. And yet we're called to be humble people. Constantly. And so I want us to think about that as we're looking at this. Our pattern in our culture today has nothing to do with humility, does it? It has everything to do with this idea of this personal preoccupation with ourselves. Do you notice it's always about finding ourselves? We have to find. I never have quite figured that out. We got to find ourselves, right? We got to find ourselves. Listen, I want you to understand something, that we don't have any problem finding ourselves, because me is one of my favorite subjects, okay? Let's just be honest. And when we talk about that, it's in our culture today, it's this preoccupation with self-appeasement. That's what it is. And so we're trying to figure out, when we're trying to find ourselves, is what self-appeases me the most. And that's the pattern. That's the path that I want to follow. Peter's not talking about this today. In fact, he's challenging us just the opposite. And I tell you, if we're not careful, you know how I am with songs. It's popped in your mind. What is old Blue Eyes? Frank Sinatra. Many of you might know who old Blue Eyes is. What did he say? And I did it my way. I wish I could sound like you. But it's almost, listen, think about it. He says, the record shows I took the blows and I did it my way. Is that not? I mean, our life, it seems like we're proud of that. We did it our way. Listen, Peter's saying, don't do it your way. Do it God's way. Do it Christ's way. follow Christ. And so this attitude of humility that he's challenging us with today, and I want us to look at some aspects of living with an attitude of humility this morning. And so first I want us to reverence the reading of God's Word. Take God's Word in your hand, if you would, and stand to your feet, whether it's on your phone, electronically, pew Bible in front of you, and let's turn to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, we'll be looking at 5 through 7. The Word of God says this: likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I pray, God, touch our lives with your word today for your glory, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. So this attitude of humility, first I want you to see that it's revealed in our relationships. Look at 5a. It's revealed in our relationship. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another. So this idea, this attitude of humility, is it's revealed in our relationships with one another. Peter has been talking about that, being submissive, and all those attitudes that he's challenges with. And then he's going on and lastly challenging the leadership. And then he says, likewise, or in the same way. Likewise, or in the same way. Humility is for everyone. And it's the supreme virtue of the church. Humility is not just for a certain group or certain people, but for everyone. And he's saying likewise. He's challenging first the younger people. He says, the truth is, listen, we're shaped by different things. I want you to know something. I once was in the younger crowd. Okay? I once was cool. Listen. It's the process of life. Mufasa would call it the circle of life, okay? On Lion King. It's a circle of life, okay? We're young, and then we're old, and there's always going to be a tension. Why is that? When I was 18 years old, I thought I knew everything. I got in my late 20s and found out I didn't know nothing. It took about that long. But when I'm 18, I feel like I know so much more than my parents did. I mean, it was a constant friction, was it not? It was always going against because they were trying to teach you and lead you, but you thought they were holding you back. You thought they were keeping you from living, for going forward, because they're just in the old-fashioned mindset. I want you to know something. At one time, we were all in that same mind. We were all the weird ones at one time, okay? This younger group are just weird. I don't know what they're thinking about. Guess what? That was us at one point. It was all of us. And Peter's saying, listen, you younger people, submit to your elders. Humility's for everyone. He says, you younger and the older. And here's the deal. He's saying there's this difference in us, yes, but there's this commonality when we're in Christ. There's this commonality. And I want you to know something. We are blessed to have so many young people here. We are blessed to have this stair steps of generations. Why? Because, man, we are blessed to have that. We have that knowledge. We have that youthfulness. We have that group that can teach. They're not the church of the future. They're the church now. That's the problem. We separate it. It's the church now, and they're part of it, and we have this commonality, and that's to make much of Jesus. It might look different ways, but I want you to know something. We are so blessed. But he's telling this right here. He's saying, listen, respect your elders. How many times did we hear that when we was growing up? Well, I used to hear it all the time. Respect your elders. Anybody else ever hear that? Maybe it's just me. Respect your elders. Why am I supposed to respect my elders? They've earned it. Okay? The gray hair is not because you've been such a blessing. Listen. Respect your elders. And that's just as simple. It's common decency that we've kind of lost, isn't it? But we should have tremendous respect for those that have come before us. We should have tremendous respect for those that have labored and earned and those that have given so much for us. There are somebody who has given everything that we could be here this morning and meet and have this thing that's called freedom. And so this tremendous respect that we should have, respecting one another. But I want you also to know that it doesn't get you off older people just because you're older and say, yeah, The other post of respect is it says everybody, respect everybody. Is it not in this scripture where it says, yes, all of you be submissive to one another. Everybody be humble, be respectful to one another. God's people should be marked by humility. Listen, it says there are always going to be generational gaps. There are. But I want you to know there's something that overcomes generational gaps, and that's called the blood of Christ and His Holy Spirit. And it joins us together on this common quest together. And we help one another, and we learn from one another as we go. Now, Peter's understanding this idea, this humility before the older, but he's also saying, addressing everyone, when he says, everybody submit. The older people, you don't get off the hook. It's all of us. We're all to have this humility. We're all to have this love for one another. Why are we to do that? We're in partnership together. This is the church. This is the ecclesia, the called out ones that God has called us out into His marvelous life. He has given us purpose and passion to go forward to take the gospel to the world. And we do that together in partnership. No one group more important than the other. We're all together on this common road called the church. Headed towards heaven. A goal that while we are here making much of Jesus and telling others about Christ. Jude said in our lesson today, contending for the faith. Standing and fighting on the faith on what we believe in. Humility is not lived out in a vacuum. Humility is that type of thing. You said, like I said before, it's the type of thing that if we feel like we're a humble person, are we humble at all? It's never in a vacuum. It's lived out in our relationships. Are you a humble person in your relationships? Is it that you got to have your way? Is it my way? Or is it God's way in your life and lived out? It's revealed in our relationships. But secondly, I want you to see, it's an attitude of mind. Look at verse 5b. And be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. It's the Spirit living in our life and enables us in this dimension to have this attitude that's lived out through actions. It's the Spirit of God. Listen, I want you to say, it says, clothe yourself with humility. And the idea is tying something on. It's like when you get ready. I noticed that when I came over early, the guys came out. Thank you for a wonderful breakfast, by the way, the guys that cooked this morning. But I noticed that a lot of them had an apron on. Why? They put the apron on, they tie it on so they don't get their clothes dirty. He says, it's that same idea that getting your work, putting on humility, tying it on when you get up in the morning, when you leave out. As you step out into the world, he says, tying it on or clothe yourself with humility. What would be a good definition of humility? A good definition of humility. What is that? A good definition. Listen, I heard somebody say this. I can't give them credit for it, but it's certainly not me because it's too good. But it says this, being who you are in the presence of God, nothing more, nothing less. Listen to this again. Being who you are in the presence of God, nothing more, nothing less. In fact, it's talking about living out the reality of who you are. Before God and before others. So many of us put on too many shows, don't we? We want people to like us, and so we'll do flip-flops. We'll do anything to get somebody to like us. Being who you are in the presence of God, nothing more, nothing less. It's not talking about a feeling, by the way. It's not talking about a feeling. It's talking about the Spirit's prompting. And the Spirit prompts us by what? Through the Word's instruction. And it's us living that out in obedience. So it's this Spirit prompting us to live out through the instruction of God's Word and us walking in obedience. And that's living out that humility before God of who we are. Not pretending. Not trying to be something that we're not. But being who God made us. We decide through our spirit to wear humility. And it's this foundational garment that we put on, and we'll be humble before the Lord and before others. The flip side of that would be what? Pride. And it's ugly. Pride's ugly, isn't it? And it's devastating. And it messes up. It mars friendships. It breaks up families. Pride does. Why would we ever want to deal or put on pride?
fact, by the way, you don't have a problem with putting it on. It's there all the time in self. But the Scripture tells us to be humble, to have humility, to put that on when we go out and where God leads us out into this world. And the second part of that verse, it says this, for God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. God's grace goes hand in hand with humility. He doesn't pander. Listen, He's not a pandering to our intelligence or to our arrogance. He says, you know what? He gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to those who are put on the humility that Christ has called us to put on and goes forth every day. He says He gives grace to. I don't know about you, but we have to have grace to survive. He says the way that we get grace is He resists the proud. Why would we ever be proud of anything? Which, by the way, what do we have to be proud of? Let me ask you. Oh, I'm proud of my granddaughter. But listen, God, that was all God's doing. That's God's doing. So my pride is not in this proudness of, look what I did. Look what God did. Look what God did. You see the difference when proud, when we think, when we want to take it on ourselves, and Dad, be careful. Here's what you do. I've worked hard. This is my house and my rules. I did it my way. Come on. You hear what I'm saying? Listen to your words ringing. This is my house. How about this is God's house? The only reason you've got the house is because of God. This is God's house and this is God's rules, and we're all under that umbrella. And we're living, all of us are living it together. You see the difference? You see the difference? It's not the only reason we have the health to get up in the morning to go to work, to earn the money that we have to buy anything that we have is because of God. Every breath, every beat of our heart, it's all God's. It's all God's. So how can we ever be prideful of anything? How? And so he's telling us here, he says, He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. God's grace goes hand in hand with humility. In fact, the verse says he resists prideful people, but He gives grace to the humble. I was in our prayer room today. Great time. Good that we had Howard. Howard was back with us, and that was a blessing. That was a surprise. Howard's foot's been bothering him. Glad to have you today, Howard. But in our prayer time, I was thinking, you go back to Luke in Luke's gospel where he's talking about that, Luke chapter 18, where the Pharisee and the publican come to worship. The Pharisee and the publican come into the temple to worship, and what does the Pharisee do? He gets up there and he says, Dear Lord, I'm so glad I fasted this week and I've done all these great things. See, I'm putting it in DIV, Dave's International Version, by the way. Here. I've fasted and I've worked hard for you. And Lord, I'm just so glad I'm not like this publican. God, but you made me so much better. He said the old publican come up and he wouldn't even look up. He said he just beat his chest. He said, God, forgive me, a sinner. I'm such a sinner. You know what Jesus said? Who went away justified? The publican. I want you to know humility starts with repentance. Humility starts with repentance. Our problem is we're okay. Everybody's okay sitting here. We're just right where we are. We're doing so good. Who does that sound like? Who does it sound like? The Pharisee. Everybody's doing so good. Everything's just right. How many of us, though, come and beat on our chest and say, God, forgive me. I'm such a sinful person. A great example of our worship here. And he's saying, listen, that he gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to that person that's willing to say, you know what? I struggle. God, I'm struggling. I need you desperately, Lord. There's nobody in this room, by the way, that hasn't sinned this week. Okay, let's just bring it all into perspective. Even your pastor. You mean you've sinned this week, Pastor? You better believe it. I got up this morning, didn't I? All of us, we struggle with it. Ain't it time we pulled our mask off sometime and just be real before God, before others? That's real humility. That's humility, the definition. The Bible teaches us he who humbles himself It says we'll be exalted. About biblical humility always begins with repentance. Listen, our exalted state will not be in this life. Our exalted state will be one day when we stand in the glory of Jesus Christ, the one who did it for us. And it's not, we're not going to be like this then either, by the way. We're going to, the reality of how we got there and who got us there will hit home then. We'll know Him as He is known. I want you to know something. Standing before you and God this morning, I deserve nothing but hell. I deserve nothing but hell. But I got grace. And through Christ's grace, I received eternal life through Jesus Christ. I didn't deserve it. Never did anything to earn it. It's only what He did for me. I deserved hell. That's what mercy and grace is. He didn't give me what I deserved, but He gave me what I didn't deserve, and that was grace and eternal life. Man, how can that not humble us to our very core? Humble us to our very core. God wars against pride. Pride, you know why He wars against pride? He said He resists the pride. He wars against it because pride puts us in the place of God. It puts us in the place of God. It vaults ourselves up to the supremacy of Christ. It's not about us, it's about Him. And when we grasp the reality of who we are and whose we are in Him and what He's done for us, it will do nothing but drive us to our knees. We'll never puff up. We'll never put our chest out and say, look at us. But we'll say, look at Him. Look at Him. Because I want you to know, listen, humility, it's revealed in our relationship. It's an attitude of mind. But lastly, it gives us God's mighty hand. Look at verses 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him before He cares for you. If we humble ourselves, we'll understand one of these days that God will lift us up. He'll lift us up, but that's not the reason that we do it. We do it because He's lifted up. We do it because He's exalted. He says, under the mighty hand of God, the awareness of God is sovereign and in everything that goes on in our life. Listen, I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know that those things that are secret to everybody else in here, but you and God, maybe your closest companion, knows what you're going through. Do you understand that God knows what you're going through? That He's sovereign and it wasn't a chance happening? That He has a plan and He has a purpose no matter how bad that it is, the situation, or no matter how hard or how much anxiousness that it has brought into your life. I want you to know that under His mighty hand, He's in control. He's got the whole world in His hand. Nothing's going on that doesn't come through His mighty hand. So listen. When we understand this, God's grace is the key to understand who I am and who I am not. Now, hold on just a minute. It's going to be, when we understand this, we're going to be content with who God made us as well. You say, wait a minute, now you start to meddle, preacher. That means that, oh, I wish I was thinner. Oh, I wish I was taller. I wish I was shorter. I wish I had dark hair. I wish I had light hair. I wish I had blue eyes. I wish I had brown eyes. Come on. That's what we all do. Wish I may, wish I might have this wish. I wish tonight. When we understand that God didn't make any mistakes, He made you the way that you are. Listen, that's peace and rest. And you don't have to conform to the image of this world. But you transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you understand God made you and He didn't make any mistakes, and His mighty hand is working all things out to His purposes, there's peace there. And you can thrive within that. Because listen, 1 Corinthians 4:7 says this, for who makes you differ from one another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? God, who made you differ? Who made you who you are? Bask in the radiance of who you are in Christ. Not what the world says you should be, but what God says that you are. That's living in humility, by the way. That's giving it all to the Lord. Be content. You have made me for who I am. That's wholeness. Lives are torn apart, by the way, make sense out of the person they wish that they were. Come on. In Christ, you are who you are. And God didn't make any mistakes, and He can work through any situation that you're in to bring glory to His name. He'll lift you up in due time. Is that not what it says there at the end of the scripture? He'll lift you up. This is not a motivation. This is an explanation. Glory comes at the end, not on the road. Glory comes at the end. Look at verse 7, which would be the great application of this whole thing. He said, look, if we humble ourselves now and understand, He'll lift us up and He'll get rid of our anxieties. What does it say? Casting all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. The Lord takes care of everything. What are you carrying today? What have you carried for years? What are you dealing with this morning that the God that you can't think the God of this universe can't deal with? The problem is not Him, it's you. It says right here, casting your cares, that idea of pitching it, casting your cares on Him. That's the kind of God that you serve, by the way. That's why Christ came, that you can cast it on Him. Why did He say that? Because He cares for you. Our loving Lord, that babe that will come and grow up to be a man and give His life on a cross and die and is buried, rises again the third day so that you can have hope of the future and tomorrow. And you can cast whatever you're dealing with on Him because He says, give it to me. Give it to me. I'm going to tell you something. You might not be completely loyal to Jesus, but Jesus is completely loyal to you. Somebody say amen. Casting all your cares. We, as believers, we endure humility and submissively give our lives to Him. And listen, we go through trials with confidence because He says to cast all our trials upon Him. Listen, what are we to cast? All our cares. That's all your anxieties, discontentments, discouragements, despairs, pain, suffering, whatever trials you encounter, cast them on Him. That's what kind of Savior you are. You serve, cast all your cares upon Him. Applications of what we've done. We're going to come and play. Number one, are you a humble person? I'm humble, proud of it. See what I'm saying? Are you a humble person? Your spirit testifies whether you are. Are you what you are before the Lord? Nothing more, nothing less. Number two, what kind of attitude do you have about life? What's your attitude? How's God speaking to you today? Number three, is there something you need to give to the Lord this morning? What are you trying to carry? Say, well, Brother Dave, you just don't understand. I might not, but He does. And He says right here, He says, you're humble. You just throw it on Me. I'll take care of it. See, our problem is we try to carry the load. We try to carry it. Let's stand on our feet and Linda begin playing. I want you to know something this morning. You're not here by accident. In God's divine providence, He knew exactly who would be here and who would need to hear this message. And I want you to know something before. I want you to close your eyes before the Lord. You and God. Just hear, listen to the sound of My voice. You and God, nobody else. Do you have a relationship with Christ? Listen, God loves you so much. There might be something you're holding on to that you think there's no way God can ever save me. Listen today, I want you to know by the authority of God's Word, there's nobody, nobody unreachable by the grace of God, but you've got to respond to grace. If His Holy Spirit's dealing with your heart, you give your life to Christ now. Don't put it off. There's no guarantee in making it home today. What's God saying? If somebody lost here today, you come forward and say, I need Jesus Christ as my Savior. Altar's open. You come now. Don't put it on. Maybe somebody else that says, you know, my attitude's just been pretty lousy lately.
Remember, be real before God. Don't you worry about anybody standing in a pew. My attitude's just not been good lately because all I've been is woe is me and everything that's coming down the pipe. Just need to come forward and say, you know what, Lord? I'm sorry about my attitude. Same thing with cares. What are you carrying today? What are you carrying that you need to just lay down on this altar and say, God, I've heard you today. I've heard you again, maybe for the thousandth time. I heard you say to cast it on you. I just want to cast it on you. Come, cast it on the Lord. What is God saying to you? People are praying, but what about you? Don't you leave here carrying the same thing you brought in here. The realization that Christ will take you today. Pray before the Lord. Answer Him in obedience. Have thine own way, Lord. What's God saying? Just another minute. Man, don't you leave here with your heart beating and saying, doing a wrestling match in your mind. You be obedient to God. You know what He said? He said, you humble yourself. I'll lift you up. Look here. I love you. You don't have to walk an aisle to be saved, by the way. It's a realization. You can, right when you're right in where you're standing, it's a realization of knowing that I do not have Christ as my Savior. And the Holy Spirit of God revealing that. And all you do is you receive Him as your personal Savior. You just receive that gift. A gift's given. You can't earn it. You just receive what He's given, and you ask Him to forgive you your sins. You repent, you turn, and live for Him. The Bible said all those that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But I'm going to tell you, you can let somebody know it. You ain't going to live it. Salvation's not in the vacuum either. It's in our relationship. And so if that's happened to you, you let somebody know it so you can be accountable to a group of people and keep you accountable. Because I'm going to tell you, this is not an easy life to live. And you certainly can't live it on your own. We need one another. I love you. Come back tonight. Women and men will be having a Bible study, and then afterwards we'll have our choir cantata practice, and it'll be the adults and the children. Come back. But I want you to ask yourself as you go out of here, did I leave anything here or I carry out here something that I should have left here? Because, listen, it's always open. It's always open. Lee closes in prayer.